This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher with Readers Entertainment Radio, where we're going to be talking about some really great books with some amazing authors. And just a shout out to everyone out there who might be listening, sitting at home, feeling a bit under the weather, whether it's allergies, sinus, flu, general, whatever you're going through, including coronavirus. Please be safe. Please take care of yourself. And of course, those who are surrounding you, please be mindful. It's something that we just need to be extremely mindful for, and let's be basically human here. Okay. So, let's wash your hands, be respectful and all that. And listen to your doctors, what they're telling you, and your healthcare providers. And then if you're home, you're stuck at home, let's curl up with a good book. And I have one for you today. So we have an amazing award-winning author today, Tammy Grace, who is also known as Casey Wiltzlin. She has written a book called A Dog's Hope. It is a poignant, heart-wrenching, but ultimately uplifting novel about the unbreakable bond between a boy and his dog. If you loved A Dog's Purpose and The Art of Racing in the Rain and Marley and Me, you will love this one. She loves dogs, and she is, already my very best friend because of this. I absolutely love people who love dogs. So welcome to the show, Miss Tammy. How are you today, my dear?
I'm doing well. Hope you are too, Patricia. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. It's tricky here. I'm in Central Texas, and so we're having allergies starting up because of the wildflowers, which we all love. To see, but of course, the allergens are no fun. And then mixed in with the end of flu and, of course, everything that's been making the news lately. So it's everybody's doing okay here, which is nice. And everybody doing all right in your neck of the woods?
Yes, we're doing well, and we have the same thing. I'm outside of Reno, Nevada, and we have some really nice weather, and my lilac buds are starting to blossom a little bit, so I can tell spring is coming, and same kind of thing, people have allergies, and it creates a bit of a panic sometimes because of the coronavirus.
Right.
So
right.
It's hard to deal with. I was supposed to go to Seattle next week, and I ended up canceling just because where I was going, it was not going to happen, So that's been, there's just so much uncertainty, and I think that's hard for people to deal with. So I do recommend a good book as well.
Yes. Well, I think, too, what's hard is we've gotten to the point where we are so hungry for immediate answers, and this is something that's just not going to give you an immediate answer, but we can forecast how bad behavior or irrational behavior or, just flat out indifferent behavior could certainly cause it to be worse. I think keeping a level head and being mindful, of course, and then always a good book is always a good idea. So no matter what's going on in the world.
And protecting older people in your life that, go run their errands for them so they don't have to go out, I think would be a great idea.
Oh, you know what? And you bring up a really good point, because I think that a lot of people, if they're more quarantining or staying in more, check on those people, whether it's, somebody who's older in your life, someone who's immunocompromised. I have a very good friend of mine who's going through chemotherapy. Even, they have said, children aren't as affected, but that's kids who are healthy. So, again, you could have a child who's at home and their caregivers as well. So, check on those people. Maybe, offer to run, like you're saying, run errands and do those things. It does make a difference.
Yes, for sure.
So tell me, where did you get started with wanting to write a book? Because everybody always says, you hear a lot of people, and I'm sure you have at book signings and talking to people, I've always wanted to write a book. And people say that, but what was the catalyst that made you do that?
Well, I have loved to write since middle school. I had a great teacher who actually introduced me to creative writing, and I just loved to do it. And so I wrote all the time. And he even got me a gig doing a column for our local newspaper, and I did that throughout middle school and junior high, and published in our local paper. And I, you know, it was just fun, you know. I enjoyed doing it, and I wrote about things that were happening at school and, you know, other things going on. And then, you know, when I went to college, I never thought about writing as a career back then. But when I was getting ready to retire, I thought, oh, I've always wanted to write. That's what I've always wanted to do. And so as I approached retirement, I was really fiddling with that in my mind, and I had a long commute every day. And so I thought about storylines quite often. And when I retired, I just buckled right down and started writing. So I retired in late 2012 and published my first book in 2014. And
wow, that's pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. So I was I was intent on doing it, and just tried to learn as much as possible, and went to some writing conferences, and and then I think I'm working on number 18 right now. So it's been a really fun second career for me. I love it. I love to write, and I've always loved to read, and it's kind of that same feeling of escapism, you know, when you're writing.
Sure.
I get very invested in my characters, and they feel very real to me, so I just enjoy it, and it's a great second career.
Well, it's funny you say that with the you know, being into your characters and wanting to know about them. I have a friend of mine, she's writing a pilot, and she let me read the script. And so I read it, and I was like, oh, this is really good. And we talked a little bit. And then a couple of days later, I was like, so let's see, when is that show on? And I'm like, oh, wait, it's not even a show yet.
It's not even on.
But,
yeah.
Right, but you're already invested.
Right. And I like series, you know, as a reader, I love series because I love the characters. I just want to keep, you know, I don't ever want them to end. And so what I'm doing right now is my first series, I had five books in it's a women's fiction series called Hometown Harbor. And I have heard just from readers all the time that want more books. And I thought, okay, yeah, I love those characters too. So I've decided that's what I'm working on right now. And I'm having so much fun because I love the characters. So I'm working on the next book in that series. So
well,
they talked me into it.
Have,
it didn't take much.
I know. But, I mean, did you ever have, as you're writing, did you ever have people say, well, what about this character? And you're like, well, I didn't plan to do anything with that person.
Right.
And then they're like, but you have to. You know, is
right.
that ever encouraged
yeah.
you to write
yes.
a story?
Yes, it has. Yeah, and that's what these books, they all feature a different woman as the main character in each book, but their lives are all intertwined, and it's set in the San Juan Islands, which are off the coast of Washington, very beautiful. That's where I came up with the idea. I was on a ferry going to visit, and I thought, oh, this would be a great setting, and it's a nice, small little community, and so you know, you write a secondary character just as a secondary character. You don't really think,
sure.
oh, they're going to explode into a main character in your next book, but that's what happens. So,
yes.
Yeah, I have done that. And it's, you know, it's fun to create their little lives and their stories. And I really love intertwined characters that carry on throughout the series, and so as a reader, that's what I like. So I tend to write what I enjoy reading. You know, I think a lot of writers
right.
do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're not into horror, then you know you're not
right.
going to probably. I mean, I guess you could
yeah.
if you had an experience that. But I mean, overall, it's you definitely want to focus on what you love and you want to read as
right.
well.
Right.
So, and I love the fact that on the covers, I'm looking at your website, almost all your covers, and I say all but one, And you have a little prequel, so that's the Hometown Harbor prequel
that's the only one that doesn't have a dog.
It doesn't have a beautiful dog on the front.
I know. I like having a canine companion for each of my characters. Mm-hmm. I think it really lends itself to them, you know, divulging some thoughts or secrets that they wouldn't tell maybe a person. You know, you can tell your dog things because, you know, it will always be a secret. So
right.
I think it makes for a fun, you know, a fun side character. And even in my mystery series, it's the Cooper Harrington detective novels, and his sidekick is his golden retriever, Gus. And
yes.
Gus is wiser than he is as far as life, you know. So he's kind of a clueless guy when it comes to relationships and life in general. He's a great detective, but not so much for other things. So Gus is there to help him and guide him with his eyes and his looks, you know, on what he should be doing in life. So
I
think it's great.
Well, you also
to do that.
You also have a free one for an interview with the dogs of Hometown Harbor series. So you can get that, and they'll tell you, it tells you about the dogs themselves and their back, a little bit of their backstory.
Yeah, what I did,
what
I did was if you subscribe to my mailing list, you can get that, it'll come to you automatically. And I just interviewed each of the dogs in those Hometown Harbor mm-hmm. series books and asked them some questions. And so you get to know the dogs, each of the dogs that belong to those characters. So it was a great fun to do that. And people love that, you know, if you're a dog lover.
Oh, for sure.
It's a no-brainer.
Well, and too, I think that also tells you about the person, so the character themselves. You know, because there's always the, you know, the different kinds of people. And we've all done it. I mean, whether you have cat or dog or fish, guinea pig, whatever. But it says something about you as a person of what animal you have.
Right. And
I always find it very
funny.
Yeah. Right. I always do find it funny, though, when there's people that – there's always people that surprise you, of course. So I think we were at – we were down in Galveston, and there was a big, like a Harley, lack of a better word, convention, but it was a gathering. It was like the whole weekend. It was all these motorcycles. And I could not get over how many dogs were like in sidecars, of course, with their little goggles. They had goggles, so their eyes were protected. But it just really varied about who had what kind of dog. You'd have these huge big guys walking down the street with these
little
tiny
purse
dogs.
Dog.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little purse dog, or you know, the little bulldog, like a little French bulldog, or and then of course you'd have these women who had labs and all sorts. I mean, just Dobermans, and I mean, it was just funny to see who had what, and I found it just so interesting and amusing and lovely. It was great fun.
Well, yeah, I think dogs, you know, dogs bring out the best usually in people. And that's what this book, this new book, A Dog's Hope, is really about, this strong connection between this stray dog and a young boy, and how they both need each other, you know. And it is true that I think dogs appear in your life when you need that dog the most. And that's certainly true in this book. It's an emotional book, but very, very much about that strong bond, you know, that unbreakable bond between a dog and its person.
So where did you come up with the idea for A Dog's Hope?
You know, it was just an idea about, it's like every other idea, you know, you're just thinking about what if this happened? What if that happened? And I had never written from the dog's point of view. I've always included dogs in my books, but this one alternates between the boy's point of view and the dog's point of view. So it was different in that respect and challenging, but I liked doing it. And so that was kind of a new and different idea. And
yeah.
And I think it's effective, you know, to do that. And it's very fun as a writer to be the dog, you know, and write from the dog's
sure.
perspective. So the dog is more experienced in life than the boy. So the dog is, you know, a little wiser and hopes to mentor this boy, which he does. So that's kind of the premise of it.
Oh, well, it sounds lovely. And I mean, I'm looking at the cover and it's just wonderfully sweet. I mean, it's kind of like on along in the vein of like My Dog Skip or, what was it? Winn-Dixie and all those that the dog plays this major part in the story. But it's just wonderfully heartwarming and tear jerking, and you know, cause we all need books other than Old Yeller and, you know, all the Jack London series, which are all great books, but you know, you kind of want a little bit of hope at the end.
This one has its emotional moments, but, it's a very hopeful book, and that, you know, you see the difference that this dog makes in this boy's life, you know, over time and even as a grown adult. So, I think
do you go and interview people who are dog owners? Do you go see different dogs in different situations and go there to be inspired for new stories? I mean, what I know all around you, there's dogs, obviously people walking and, you know, and whatever. But I mean, is there a place that you seem to gather more creativity for your stories?
You know, so this book in particular, I had lost my golden retriever, who was my riding buddy, and she was definitely my furry soulmate, and so she inspired all the dogs in my previous books, but I had lost her right about the time I was right before I started this project, so she was heavy on my mind throughout this project, and we had decided to get another dog, and we wanted another golden. And they're difficult to find if you're looking for a rescue, especially where we live. So we went and visited a breeder who had been breeding goldens and had lots of goldens. And so it was kind of interesting because I talked to her a little bit about goldens in particular. And then we ended up getting a new puppy, you know, while I was finishing up this project. So we've been talking to other owners and her and doing some training things with dogs. So I did probably get more input on this book from outside sources than I had in the past, which was probably good because, you know, if you only have one dog, it's like, well, they do their own little tricks and have their own little idiosyncrasies. But watching other dogs is fun, like you say. And, you know, you pick up on new little things they do, or you hear stories about past dogs. Our breeder has bred Goldens for like 25 years. So she has a lot of insight, you know, into their behaviors. And then she has four dogs of her own. So we got to meet all of them. And so I do think I probably picked up a little bit more from, you know, from those sources for this book.
Right.
And then I'm writing a second book, a dog-centric book for Book a Tour. This publisher is called Book a Tour, and they're based out of London, a division of Hatchett. And so when I signed with them, I signed for two books. And so I'm working on this next book. It's called A Dog's Chance. And so it also has a golden retriever. And so it's interesting because in A Dog's Hope, this first book, the dog, when the story opens, the dog is older. And so I pulled a lot from our dog that was older for that book. And then in A Dog's Chance, when the book opens, the dog is a puppy. And we have a new puppy. So that has been quite helpful in coming up with new antics for puppies, because you kind of forget when you haven't had a puppy for a while what they're capable of. So
Right.
I've taken a lot of notes from her.
Yes, and every puppy has their own idiosyncrasies,
oh,
for sure.
Yes, their own little personalities and their own little tricks, and yeah. Yes, they are funny. So she
kids,
keeps us on our toes.
I bet. My kids, we've watched the movie Up, I don't know how many times.
Mm.
And there is a short, it's on YouTube as well, but it's called Doug's Special Mission. And so it's Doug, the dog, and the special mission that they send him on to keep him out of their hair. And we were, every time we watch it, we see something a little bit new, but we were really impressed with the creators of the movie that they didn't have the dogs talking. If you look at the behind the scenes and they're showing them, they have all these dogs at Pixar, and they're showing these dogs are just like running around and, you know, having the best time. And the artists are just kind of sitting there drawing and coming up with all these different ideas and taking pictures. And it was just really delightful because they said it would have really impeded the actual dogness of the dogs if they had had them speak,
right?
Like talk to the people. So that's where they came up with the collars. But they were still able to be dogs at the same time, which I thought was pretty brilliant. And it's so fun to see like what you're writing, and you're writing from the dog's point of view, and you're getting basically on the floor with a puppy and pulling those same kind of things out. And so but have you, when you're talking to people who say, decide to adopt an older dog or a rescue, you know, the learning curve is a little bit steeper just because you're, you know, thrown into each other pretty quickly. But what I usually see with a lot of the rescues is they're just super happy to be wherever they are and not, you know, there. How many of your books talk about the rescue dogs?
I'm trying to think. Most of them are not rescue-centered. I do have one, I'm writing a new women's fiction series, and there's just one book so far, but it's called Glass Beach Cottage series. And
she takes
in a foster puppy that she's helping train to be a hearing assistant dog. And so that one is kind of unique, and I did a lot of research on how they train those dogs and what they're capable of, which is fascinating. That and she befriends a man with a hearing impairment, and so it really touches her heart that he could get this dog, you know, that would help him, you know, in life, because he's so dependent on his parents and, you know, help from other people. So that was fun. That was interesting, you know, to learn about that and see how they take those dogs. And, you know, you can train a dog to do so many things, and they're so smart, but there's not any real particular thing about a rescue. There is a retired police dog that gets taken in by one character. So there's that, but not killer. You know, I didn't set out with that in mind at all, ever.
Sure.
But it's a good line, so I might.
Yeah,
it's just some of them are puppies, some of them they've had for a long time, and then a few of them are like older dogs that get taken in. But I've had several friends that have taken in rescue dogs, and they're, you know, over the moon happy with them. And like you say, they're generally such great dogs, and they're so happy to be with a family, you know, and and have a purpose again, that it generally works out just fine. And we've been taking our little puppy for training, and met some of the other clients the other night for a big walk with all of us. And so that was fun, because one was telling me that she took in this little dog that was about 4 months, I think, and he'd already been in 3 different homes. And so now he's with her, and he seems very happy. He's a little skittish still, but very happy. You know, they just have such unique personalities. So that is fun to see, you know, the difference in a dog that gets a second, third, fourth, fifth chance, whatever it is, or a puppy, you know, that you choose as a puppy. So,
well, we were coming home from it was several years ago. We were coming home from a martial arts class, and we were on a kind of a busier street, and there was a dog in the middle of the street. And I was thinking, oh man, and my kids all saw her, and they're like, Mom, you have to do something. And I was like, okay, we'll get in the car, you know, first. And I look up and she's gone. And people were slowing down. They saw her, so they were, you know, trying not to hit her. And they said, where'd she go? And I don't know. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe she's out of the street. And they said, Mom, what are you going to do? How are you going to help her? I said, well, I don't know, honey. I don't see her. And they said, she's right next to the car. And I look over, and that little dog was right next to our car. And I thought, well, all right. Well, because it was hot. It was really hot. And I knew our little paws were going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I, you know, pick her up, and she has a collar, but it's just a collar. There's no tag or anything.
Right.
So I was like, and my husband had been very specific. He's like, no dogs, no dogs. And I said, all right. So I was driving home, and she was in the front seat, and he's waving at us. We drive up, and he looks at me, and gets this look on his face, and I was just like, put my hands up and went, just breathe. And so we got her situated. We gave her, you know, she was covered in fleas. We cleaned her up. We got her medicine. I had her scanned for a chip. She didn't have one. And so then he's like, well, we can't keep her. And I said, okay, fine. So I put a message out to my friends, and one lady said she wanted her, but she could come get her that Saturday. It was like Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, she can't be on the couch, you know, all these things. And
rules, yeah.
I was, uh-huh. So, and it was just classic, like a story. So I texted from the grocery store. I said, do you need anything? And he said, no. And he sends me a picture. That dog's in his lap on the couch. And I was like, oh, I thought, yeah, I thought no dogs on the couch. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then, so when my friend came to pick her up that weekend, he was sad. Looked at him like, really?
Isn't that funny?
Come on. Make up your mind.
Have to lay down the law, and then he's a big soft marshmallow underneath, huh?
It was actually quite charming. It was fun. But then not too long after that, he decided, well, maybe we do. We had one dog, and we had just lost one. So he kind of relented a few months later and said, well, maybe we do need a second one. And so we ended up getting a second dog. And it's just, it's always funny, the ones who cave so quickly. But like you're saying,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes dogs show up when we really need them to.
Right. I know, yeah. And it's like the personality even that you need at the moment, you know. I think that's some of it. And, you know, losing a dog is just, it's just heart-wrenching. You know, it's so hard to lose them. And,
yeah.
And then...
It doesn't seem quite fair we don't get them for a long period of time.
I know. It's just the worst. And it's hard to get a new dog afterwards too. You know, you have that feeling of wanting one, but then that almost feeling of being disloyal to your other dog. You know, it's a tough call. So we took a little bit of a break between getting another one, because I had a horrible time when I lost my dog. So it's just, it's very hard. And some people don't understand how hard it is. And in fact, I was talking to a guy I used to work with not long ago, and he was always one of those guys that's like, well, it's just a dog. You know, I don't know why people get so excited about it. He lost his dog a few months ago, and he was like, oh, he said, I never understood it until that happened. He said, I was a wreck. He said, and I was such a jerk to people. He said, I feel so bad that I was like that. But he said, now I understand. And it's like, yeah, I think until you have experienced that, that's something you really don't understand. So it's a tough
thing. And everything changes. You know, it's the everyday things that are so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you come home and like, this week we need to go somewhere, so our dog's at the border where she absolutely loves and has a huge time. But I got up this morning, was like, okay, I need to let the dog out, and it's like, oh wait, she's not. It's like your routine, everything changes.
And like we just had the one, and your house, you know, you just have these little noises that they make and things, you know, you hear them on the floor and like nails on the wood floor, you know, and I, for a week thinking I heard her, you know, still, it's weird,
mm-hmm.
very strange, but yeah, my house was just way too quiet after she left, so.
And now you have a puppy chewing on your carpet.
And now we have a puppy, so we get no rest. No rest. But she's getting better. We've been doing lots of training with her, she's very smart and she picks up on things right away. But the trainer was laughing. She said, she needs a job. And I'm like, yes, she does. And she's so much better when she does, like, have a job, you know, to do, and you work her mind. And so we really noticed on this dog how much she needs mental exercise. You know, to do a lot of things. And she so much better behaved when you've worked her and made her do things and work her mind a little bit. So that's what we've been working on. So
I love
it. Which is fun, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my parents just, they're retired and they're in their 70s and they said, we're getting a puppy. And we all just went, what?
Oh.
But it's one of those things.
Hopefully it's a tiny puppy.
No, it's a lab and she's a big one. But I think the idea is that, you know, the company and they don't live very far. So, I mean, we see them, but I think it's, but I think they had forgotten, and they even said this, we've forgotten, you know, you got to let them out a lot. I mean, you got to let them out a lot. You got to make sure there's just so many puppy things, you know, and that you don't even think about.
They're like a baby that bites. That's what I say.
That's right. That is right. And, you know, ripping stuff up and eating weird stuff. And
you just got to really watch them all the time. Yeah. Yeah, my parents are in their 70s as well, and they were our other dog. It was like they had a grand dog, you know, and they live
mm-hmm.
right near us. So they were always with her and playing with her, and if we went anywhere, they took care of her. And so then we get this puppy that's just a psycho, you know, and she's just full of it, you know, and that's what they were saying. It's like, oh, my gosh. And I said, yeah, I don't think anybody in their 70s needs a puppy because, you know, they're just hard to handle. And, you know, when you're 70, you're physically not as fit as you were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So just keeping up with them and making sure, you know, they don't barrel into you and knock you over, which they can do quite easily. So they just have so much energy. You know, it's like, oh, I only had half that energy. Or if I could train her to vacuum, that would make my day.
Those
but
opposable thumbs would come
happening.
In handy, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I know. I wish they could do some of that kind of stuff. But so we're trying really hard to get her to behave so she's easy for my parents to, you know, help out with if we ever go anywhere or do anything. So, and she's a sweet girl.
Well,
she's just full of it.
Right. Well, I was laughing because when, you know, we had two labs and one passed away, and then the lab that was left, she was lonely because she'd always, the one that had passed away was her mom, and so she'd always been with her mom. So I convinced my husband, we get this other dog, so we get a second dog, and, you know, labs eat anything. So, you know, I'd have blueberries.
Like a goat.
And, you know, here's a blueberry. You know, here's a blueberry, and she'd eat it. And then our new little dog, who looks like she's a miniature pincher, wiener dog. So she looks like a wiener dog on stilts. And she has like ears like Dobby from Harry Potter. And so she's really fun and quirky. And so I would give blueberries to Lily, who was our lab. And then I would give Whitney, who is our, you know, other, our mini pin. We'd give her the blueberry and she'd eat it. Well, then Lily passed away. And, I gave Whitney the blueberry and she spit it out. So she was only eating it because
the other one was. She's like, I don't even like blueberries, lady.
It was like, it was just like, you know, spit it out. Wow. Okay. So, those little personality quirks, but she does freak out over sweet potatoes.
Oh, how
she
fun.
Absolutely loves sweet potatoes. Yeah. So if ever I make sweet potatoes, I cut up extras because
right.
they're really good
and
for
then
them.
She's happy, happy. And, yes.
Oh, she's so happy. And green beans. She'll eat green beans.
Oh yeah.
Corn.
Yeah. Our other dog
wasn't
a fan of green beans. I tried that, but she loved fruit. So any like watermelon. Oh, she loved watermelon.
Okay.
And anything like that, and berries, any kind of berry. But green beans, she would do the same thing. And she'd put it in her mouth and just be like, boom, spit it across the floor. You know, you're like, There's a dog on Facebook. I think his name's Tucker, and he's hilarious because his mom's always feeding him different stuff and then captioning it, you know. He does not like green vegetables. So he's always constantly looking at him like, what are you doing? Why are you giving me this? So, but they are funny.
This is not right.
They are so unique, you know. And that's what we noticed with our other golden. We thought, oh, well, we'll get a golden. It'll be just like the other golden. Wrong. You know, they're just totally different. It's like two people. So, and it is fun. It's fun, though, to watch them. And they make you laugh and smile and bring so much joy to your life that you wouldn't otherwise have. So, I am.
Right.
I definitely love having one, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, I've wasted many an hour watching funny dog videos on YouTube. So,
I know.
There's one dog, Mr. Bubs. Have you heard of him? He's on Instagram. I don't know what. I think he's part Chihuahua, but his dog's definitely got a serious issues. But he has this very strange way he talks, and he's probably very neurotic, and the family's very funny because one of them will be sitting there, and if someone else comes up, one of them come up and sit, the dog's like growls at him and gets all around, and
that's a lot of vocalization, huh?
Right, he's very vocal, and it's funny. They're like, "Oh, Bubs, that's not nice," you know.
And he's just
got over half a million people watching
oh my
this
gosh.
Dog.
Oh, I have to check him out. No, I have not heard of him.
Yes, yes,
I like. I need one more dog to follow. Right.
That's right. That's right.
It's like, yes. Oh my goodness. I know.
Yeah. Well, we saw the one Gobi. Finding Gobi. That's another one. It's a little dog. This gentleman ran the Gobi Desert. Multi-marathon, like you run it over a series of days.
Right.
And this dog started following him, and he ended up, you know, the dog stayed with him the whole race. And and then he found someone. He's like, well, I'm going to adopt the dog, and he's from the UK. So there's, you know, really strict quarantine. So he found someone to keep the dog while he went back and got everything situated, and she ran away. So then they called and said she ran away. So then he went back, and it took a week, and they found her. So the guy ends up staying in China for like 5 months.
Oh, my gosh.
To make sure this dog comes back with him. And you know, they're happy, and there's a children's book, and there's a middle grade reader about it. My son's reading it. But it's really sweet. But I thought, man, you know, that's
well, they were definitely meant to be together, right? That's longer than people wait for a wife or a husband, some of them.
Some of them, yes. Some, yes. It's interesting what we'll do for animals. We won't do for each other. It's quite fascinating. Yeah.
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 And they're easier to be around than a lot of people, that's for sure. So
I
but
think
they
it's
are,
the honesty
they are funny.
Of it.
I do too.
Yeah,
and
I think
yeah.
It's just a, yeah.
Plus, they're totally trustworthy, you know. They're you never have to doubt what they're thinking or what they're doing. So
right.
So
yeah.
that's another part that comes into this book of you know, that relationship that this young man really needs a friend he can count on, and this dog just, you know, comes into his life at the exact right moment that he needs that support and that unconditional love, you know, that a dog will give you. So, which is, you know, the best part of a dog. So,
right.
That makes it
so
very
when you
fun
when you were doing the what if about What story would I write? You know, when you're first starting 2012 and you're saying, okay, I'm going to write, was it always going to have a dog-centric theme, or just did that just kind of organically happen?
You know, it's funny. So I did think I wanted to include a dog because I had a real close relationship with my dog. But when I told you I came up with that idea, I was on this ferry going to the San Juan Islands, and this woman was on the ferry with a golden retriever. She just sat down with her dog outside, and so I went right over and sat down next to her and was asking her about her dog and, you know, talking to her about that and what she was doing. And, you know, she had nothing to do with the story, but just seeing her alone sitting with her dog on the ferry sprouted the beginning of this idea. And so this woman moves to the San Juan Islands with just her dog. And so she's traveling with her dog across the water on the ferry. And that's just kind of how it started. You know, it's just these tiny little, tiny little spark. And then it's like, boom, you know, it's like, okay, that's what I'm thinking. And then, just keeps going from there. So, you know, I was trying to figure out, so why would this woman on her ferry with her dog, why is she on her ferry with a dog by herself? You know, what's the deal? So then you make up why that's happening. So that's kind of how that all started. With just that little spark of an idea. And then, and I do like it. I enjoy having the dog. And, you know, the women are all, it's women's fiction. So it's about their kind of emotional journey throughout the book. And the dogs really help them, you know, if they're lonely or whatever, they talk to their dog or, you know, just like you do when you're talking to your dog. So, I think it just makes it realistic and relatable for people.
Sure. And so you're writing a second book in the same series that you've, The Dog's Hope?
It's not a series. It's not the same characters. It's just another dog-themed book about the bond with dogs. So different dog, different characters, but similar theme.
Okay.
So, and that will be out in July.
Okay. And what's the title of that one?
A Dog's Chance.
Okay. And do you have another one planned for after that, or do you not sure?
Not with Book of Tour. Those are the two I committed to with Book of Tour. And then what I'm working on now is I'm working on the sixth book in the Hometown Harbor series. And then I will also be writing the fourth book in the Cooper Harrington mystery series that I have going. And I have a new Christmas. I also write Christmas, Hallmark style Christmas stories. And I've teamed up with four other authors. We're writing a connected Christmas series, which I'm very excited about. And that will be out in October. We've got 6 books in that series, basically, an introduction novella type book, and then each of the connected stories. And that's called the Soul Sisters series.
Okay.
And so we'll have some information coming out soon on that. So that's what I've got going. And then I'm also writing another in my beach, the Glass Beach Cottage series. So I have enough to keep
you busy
for a long time. Yeah.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Ms. Tammy. I really appreciate your time, and I wish you the best. And please come back and talk to us when you have your next books are out.
I will. Thanks so much, Patricia. You have a great week.
You too. And this was Readers Entertainment Radio. I am Patricia W. Fisher, talking about great books with amazing authors. And if you're looking for Miss Tammy, you look up TammyLGrace.com. She's also known as Casey Wilson for A Dog's Hope is her latest book. And you also can find her on social media. All the links of that are in the write-up of the show. So thank you so much for being with us today, and keep reading, and please take care of yourselves out there.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.